We're learning.
You may be seated, please. As you can tell, Ephraim and I are sharing our very first day with you. And so we're just still trying to figure out where to come in and where to go out. You already probably know the way you think it should go. And we've just got to catch up with you. But we've got such a great staff here that they've been assisting us this past week in getting ready for these moments. And we truly do already love and appreciate the wonderful staff that's here at St. Paul's United Methodist Church. The music was fantastic in the early service. It was simply fantastic in this service as well. And we look forward to working with this praise team for a long time to come. I have been asked, before I preach, what was it that brought me out of retirement? And that was my second retirement, by the way. My first retirement lasted 5 months, and I became a hospital chaplain for one of the Houston Methodist hospitals and did that for 6 years. Retired again, then the flood came. We moved to be closer to our daughter in the Phoenix area. But then I got a call from your district superintendent on behalf of the cabinet, and they just simply said, we would like for you to consider becoming senior pastor to one of our better churches. And I'm like, that wasn't what I had talked to y'all about. I was looking for something part-time, fill in every Sunday maybe here and there, be kind of part-time as a pastoral care specialist maybe at a church in the Phoenix area. And then when the DS said, we would like for you to consider coming to St. Paul's United Methodist Church in Tucson, I said, well, can I commute? He didn't laugh. He took that seriously and said, no, you can't. And so I've talked with my wife, and yes, we did pray about it. We talked about it because we'd only been in the Phoenix area for a year and 2 or 3 months, and moving again. So we did. We've been living down here now for about a month. Our house has already got a contract on it up in the Phoenix area. And so, folks, here we are, whether you like it or not. This is it. I will not always preach from behind the pulpit, but first Sunday and maybe for a few weeks I will do that, especially when I'm preaching sermons that are not so easily, and I don't memorize my sermons, but that are not so easily digested in some ways, and I want to get it right. So bear with me on that today, okay? But anyhow, today I'm sharing with you continuing this whole July the 4th theme, Let Freedom Ring. One day, a citizen of our grand nation asked one of his British friends, as he was talking with him, he wanted his British friend to understand that he, as an American, was interested in how the Brits understood things about America. And so he asked, hey, do you folks in Britain, do you have a 4th of July? And the Brit looked at him and without blinking an eye said, oh no, we go straight from the 3rd to the 5th. Well, let me tell you, this year, from certain kinds of understandings, there are a lot of people who probably would have been very happy to have gone from the 3rd to the 5th. I understand some of that. But at the same time, I am an American. Yes, I am a kingdom of the citizen of heaven, and that's where my main citizenship lies. But I was born here. I live here. I am a citizen of this great country, this great experiment in constitutional freedom. And so with that in mind, I want to continue this dialogue about letting freedom ring. I am thankful for this day. I'm thankful as I remember all those brave and passionate persons who gave us the Declaration of Independence, and how probably they really never had any vague idea as to what that document would do and stir up in the life of the establishing of this nation. Their words carried a sacred message. It was written in a time when only landowning men could vote in most colonies. And let me tell you how that works even today. We had retired in Kingwood, Texas, and I was meeting with a group of men from a church that we were attending, and we would go and have burgers and stuff, and we would visit and talk about a lot of things, and sometimes it would get on politics, and there were at least two or three different persuasions at that table. And I just simply raised the question, well, what do you think is the percentage of the R group and the D group in this community? Y'all know what R and D is, okay? And this one guy looked at me and he said, well, I'll put it to you this way, Ken. There are some D people who live here, but for the most part, they live in the apartments, and they don't pay taxes, and they really shouldn't be allowed to vote. I simply said, well, I own a house, and I'm in that group, so that tells you a little bit about me, okay? And I vote, and he changed the subject, and that was good. That was healthy. But this is the kind of the way people have lived and thought about what it means to be an American, that it's men and it's landowning men. But through the years, we have worked at expanding the meaning of what it means to be men. And we finally concluded that women belong in that group. We finally concluded that other races belong in that group. We are struggling with to what degree some people of some races and some genders belong in that group, but we're pressing on here in America. Because you see, we have even got this statue out on the northeast quadrant of our nation that says, give me your tired, your poor, and you're homeless, yearning to be free. And that's America for me. People who yearn to be free. This is a land of freedom. But in spite of all those years of proclaiming that freedom, in many ways it still is unrealized. It really wasn't that different of a world for the Apostle Paul. Though he was Jewish and understood the prejudice that came with that in his day, and that about 80% of his world were slaves, he was also a Roman citizen. And he ultimately used that relationship to get himself to Rome and to get himself beheaded. Because he said, I am a citizen of Rome, I am carrying my case there. Paul understood the dynamics that faith, freedom, and freedom by law work together. Hopefully we'll continue to learn that. And so therefore, I have two thoughts. Because of this wonderful thing called freedom, let freedom ring for all. The mindsets behind the Declaration blended together their appreciation of human frailty as well as human progress. And out of that milieu came the words we're hopefully all familiar with. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But in spite of the rational and somewhat heavenly-oriented legalese that these fellows used, that governmental institution did not bring about a heavenly kingdom on earth. Because hidden beneath the words of hope was the reality that freedom was narrowly defined. Again, we keep wordsmithing that phrase, all men, to be interpreted as all people. But that has been an uneven, a rocky, and sometimes just flat out uneven hill to journey. The sacred ground of our nation is saturated with the blood, sweat, and tears of subjugated women, enslaved African Americans, persecuted and uprooted indigenous peoples. I came to realize that this conference, the Desert Southwest, and much of the Pacific Coast Conference, back in the mid-60s, Methodist preachers from Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Georgia, and all through there, Louisiana, as they were chased from their pulpits by racists for preaching an inclusive faith, they came west and became pastors and leaders in the conferences that are out here that make up the great jurisdiction that we're a part of. You see, this grand experiment to ring the bell of freedom for all is still being engaged. And I do. I weep, I mourn, I suffer for where we are in this struggle today. It reminds me again of the 60s. With all of the turmoil surrounding that search for human rights, for something that Lincoln had set in motion, that over 100 years later had been put on the back burner of this great nation. We still weren't willing to give everyone full freedom. And I remember for the first time in the early 60s, hearing a trio that, man, I just love even now after Mary has been dead for a few years. Peter, Paul, and Mary. Remember them? Man, they sang a song back in, they sang a bunch of different things, but they sang one that, I'll tell you what, I would almost just break out singing in here, but I won't bludgeon you today. I'll just give you the words of it. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. I'd hammer in the evening all over this land. I'd hammer out of danger. I'd hammer out a warning. I'd hammer out a love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. If I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning. I'd ring it in the evening. I'd ring it all over this land. I'd ring about danger, I'd ring out a warning, I'd ring about the love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. If I had a song to sing, I'd sing it in the morning, I'd sing it in the evening, I'd sing it all over this land. I'd sing about a danger, I'd sing about a warning, I'd sing about a love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. Well, I've got a hammer, I've got a bell, and I've got a song. It's the hammer of justice. It's the bell of freedom, and it's a song about the love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. Folks, did you catch that line? It's all about a love between my brothers and my sisters. Freedom for all, freedom by law, offers us a great life possibility. But freedom by law is empty without letting spiritual freedom ring. Some of us are Lanyap freedom people. You know what Lanyap is? It's that good old Cajun word that means just a little bit more. So some of us, we give a little bit more. We offer a little bit more. But folks, I'm talking about spiritual freedom, which is the freedom that Christ gave us. It is your and my birthright of citizenship to an eternal place with Jesus Christ. And the key to that citizenship is to be lived out here, because the prayer says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the will of God is quite simple. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love is the quotient that carries us to spiritual freedom. This freedom is inclusive. It's for every person who's ever lived and every person who shall live. It's a lot more than Roman candles, black cats, and sparklers. This is God's love that sets us free from our fears, our failures, our regrets, our closeted racism, our private and public prejudices, whatever they may be. So again, I'm reminded of another gospel song. You know, I grew up singing Southern gospel. It's the way I was raised. Even sang in a college quartet for 3 years. We were the Zionaires. We did pretty good, too. I was the guy that sang that woman's part in a quartet. And I could do that pretty good till a few years ago, and my voice took a dip. But one of the songs that I just love to sing in my heart and again sing out loud is like this. So long I had searched for life's meaning, enslaved by its sin and its greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, and I forgot the foolish person I used to be. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. I have traded my shackles for a glorious song. Praise God, I'm free at last. You see, freedom's bell is a bell of love to be rung by you and me. For it's out of that great love that God has for you and me that we're enabled to ring that bell and sing that song, no matter what we experience. I recently came across the words of a song that one group sings quite often. And it's simply titled, Let Freedom Ring. Listen to the words as I read them. Deep within the heart has always known that there was freedom. Somehow breathed into the very soul of life. The prisoner, the powerless, the slave have always known it. There's something that keeps reaching for the sky. And even life begins because a baby fights for freedom. And songs we love to sing have freedom's theme. Some have walked through fire and flood to find a place of freedom. And some have even faced hell itself for freedom's dream. Let freedom ring wherever minds know what it means to be in chains. Let freedom ring whenever hearts know pain. Let freedom echo through the lonely streets where prisons have no keys. We can be free, and we can sing, Let Freedom Ring. God built freedom into every fiber of creation, and God meant for us to all be free and whole. When my Lord bought freedom with the gift of His salvation, His life stamped pardon on my very soul. I'll sing it out with every breath. I'll let the whole world know it. This hallelujah anthem of the free, that iron bars and heavy chains can never hold us captive. The Son has made us free, and free indeed. Let freedom ring down through the ages from a place called Galilee. Let freedom ring wherever hearts know pain. Let freedom echo through the lonely streets where prisons have no key. You can be free. And you can let freedom ring. Folks, in the name of Christ, we're free. Sometimes the government doesn't get it, but we're free. And our freedom is nowhere better expressed than in a service of Holy Communion. My wife and I worshiped with a congregation of a different denomination for a time. I simply did not want to be back in a congregation I had pastored. So we went to this other church. They do communion every Sunday. And you know, those guys I sat with that night were that guy I talked about, all those people who didn't own anything. I would kneel beside that man, and we would both receive communion. Communion is the place where God's freedom meets our souls. We come to this table, and we are all set free. So folks, I invite us all now to embrace our freedom at this table.